It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona, the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com, FreedomsPhoenix.com. What we're doing today is big issue, immigration. There's a bunch of other stuff going on, but I tell you what my concern is today. We have a situation here to where there's a three-month period before the legislation actually becomes law. Down at the state capitol, we have a lot of Hispanics and so on that, you know, don't want this to become law, and they're protesting or camping out there. They're making an issue. We have the Republicans like, yeah, go get them. The other thing is that of interest, and the reason I have my guest on today is because yesterday I had the opportunity, I was watching Sunday morning news, De La, whatever, and it was Meet the Washington Scum, whatever it is, on the morning show. And he had J.D. Hayworth up there running. He was a U.S. congressman here that's running for the John McCain seat. And he's perceived as, you know, tough on immigration. You know, he gets Chris Simcox, you know, from the Minutemen to, and they disbanded the Minutemen, interestingly, but they, you know, came out and they're endorsing J.D. Hayworth. Well, J.D. Hayworth gets up there and saying, you know, my liberal opponent, John McCain, all of a sudden he's coming out for, yeah, we're not tough enough, let's go get tough, and 3,000 on the border, and let's go kick butt. And like, hey, you know, he's a flip-flopper and not consistent on immigration, and I am, vote for me. And oh, by the way, the reason I'm here, really here, is a debate, Luis, what's his name, which is some Democratic congressman that was in studio in Washington, got arrested this last week for protesting in front of the White House, you know, wanted to get arrested, make a woohoo show of it, and he's for not having this bill or opening up immigration. He wants amnesty, okay? So the discussion has come to where those that want to control immigration and legal are illegal because they're illegal and, you know, they need to be legal and go back and ship them back and done. Then we have the other side saying, well, they got to be legal. We need to have them legal. And I'll tell you what's going on. The ones that say we need to control our borders and they're illegal, we need to have national ID. We need to be able to check them and compare them with some list and say you're on or you're off the list, you know, you got to go. Then we have the pro-immigration people are saying, yeah, we have a list, and you give them, you know, kind of a work permit or extended visa, green card kind of, you know. And what it comes down to is what I knew it was going to come down to. You're going to have both sides arguing for national ID to solve the problem. I get into a long conversation for hours with a good friend yesterday. He really wants to have illegals, you know, follow the law. And he's just so browbeaten down into submission that, yeah, well, we got to do something, national ID. I remember this emotion. I remember this feeling. It was during the Cold War. It was late 70s, early 80s. I'm just getting out of high school, going in life. All you hear about is, you know, the Cold War, the Russian nuclear winter, nuclear blow up, this gun. And you know, can we just hurry up and get it over with? Can we just do this so we can be done with it? I'm so sick and tired of hearing about it. Let's just get it over with. I'm young. Whatever, man. We'll, you know, the cockroaches and some of us will survive. I mean, you know, you just get so beaten down with the issue. A lot of times the issue doesn't even really affect you personally, but you just get so worked up in it, and that's where I see these people. We got to do something, and then they're selling out. A conservative well-known Republican in this state, a former senator. She retired this last election cycle, but she still has heavy sway inside the Republican Party. I have former senator for the state of Arizona, Karen Johnson. I got you there, Karen?
You got me, Ernie.
This issue has, I mean, I thought it would take, you know, months or maybe even a year, or, you know, it wouldn't be so immediate that they would be pulling people in the jail, even though this one gentleman had a commercial truck driving license that he handed to him at a weigh station. But because he was Hispanic looking, because he didn't have perfect English, you know, he had an accent or whatever, he's from Fresno, California, they hauled him off in handcuffs until his wife could bring his California birth certificate. And I'm going, you know, this is why do you think this is going to become a standard operating procedure?
Oh, Ernie, I certainly hope not. I thought as I read through this bill, and I've been trying to read it, I thought that it said that if you have a valid license, driver's license, commercial license, or whatever, that that would suffice. And so I would be puzzled why he would be taken off.
Because the officer was not, you know, to determine your United States citizenship. And there, you know, that's one thing that Russell Pierce, and I know you know Russell well, a fellow senator in there for a lot of years you worked with. And what happened when he was director of Department of Motor Vehicles, he wanted to have the Social Security and your driver's license connected. People complained about it so much that they said, okay, we're not going to print the Social Security number on there, but it was still linked. He had Prop 200, which is the immigration thing, and we have now, at that time when they did Prop 200, any interface with the state, you had to have an ID that will have checked for your U.S. citizenship. Well, if they don't believe that your state IDs have been vetted through a national database and it hadn't been turned into them to create one or something, then I guess they can say, well, this isn't good enough. We need a birth certificate.
Oh, Ernie, you know where I'm coming from on this. I absolutely do not support any kind of data collection, databasing, real ID. I mean, we worked so hard back in, I guess it was 2005, to make sure that we defeated the federal government's idea of forcing us, you know, to have to turn over our information from a state to the federal government through the real ID. We were able to actually get that through Arizona and have even Napolitano sign it, which was, you know, practically a miracle, I thought at the time, although her reasoning was way off from ours because it wasn't funded through the feds, so it was an unfunded mandate as far as she was concerned. But at any rate, you know, here she is now back there as the head of Homeland Security. She has, boy, she's got, she's forgotten a lot of stuff that happened when she was here as governor along the border, the problems that we do have, that Arizona is facing. I mean, there are some really strong, serious problems here, and they do need to be addressed. I don't believe that this particular bill is the answer to what, you know, we're facing here. And I'm very, very concerned because there's just a little small part in there, Ernie, of that bill that gets us into data sharing with the federal government, and that just scares the bejeebies out of me.
Well, they said, I talked to all these people, and Russell made a big deal out of it, and we were pointing that part out, that it turns over hunting and fishing licenses and those that applied for concealed carry permits and the Department of Motor Vehicle, I mean, on and on and on. And in the law, it says, you know, no law shall be passed, ordinance, any municipality can prevent the transfer of this data.
That's right.
And I'm going, how is this not national ID? And the response that I got from them was because it doesn't require that the officer run you or something. But then there's a provision in there that anybody can sue the local law enforcement and get $5,000 if they're not perceived to be enforcing this law. So I'm just, I don't understand how they can say it's not national ID.
Well, I don't either. This little part in here that's actually on page 2 of the bill under E, sections 1 and 2, to me very specifically allows total and complete sharing of information on lawful people, not unlawful people. Well, unlawful people too, but lawful people. That's you and I, Ernie. So all of that information can be shared. It doesn't say that it has to be, but it can be. And so this just opens up the floodgates as far as...
Oh, no, if they can, they are. I can tell you that. But that's what they're saying. They go, look, it doesn't say we have to, so then it's not national ID. And I'm like, wow. When we come back, I want to talk with Karen about the real ID prohibition that we had here. And why would Janet Napolitano sign that and go be director of Homeland Security when we had... What? I mean, the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative? Maybe we already got it. Oh, enhanced driver's licenses when we come back on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Senator from Arizona, Karen Johnson, Republican. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and former senator from Arizona here. She's calling from northern Arizona, Karen Johnson, Republican, well-respected, knew what was what. Now, I tell you one thing, Karen, that I want to point out is that if I look at the I just put it up back up at the top of Freedom's Phoenix, and this was originally from December 6, 2007. And what it was is when Janet Napolitano in Arizona signed on to enhance driver's licenses. Now, this is before they said, we're not going to do real ID. Well, they didn't need to. As the deadline for the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative approaches, another border state has decided to offer enhanced driver's licenses to its citizens. Arizona Governor Janet Napolitano signed a memorandum of understanding today with the Homeland Security Department to begin offering the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative and Real ID Act compliant licenses. The state joins New York, Vermont, and Washington, whose governors also signed agreements, and it went on, blah, blah, blah. When they said the billet you're talking about, where they said, you know, we're not going to do real ID. What they were talking about is, I'm not even really sure, because they already had the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative, the enhanced driver's licenses. Do you remember any of that?
Well, I remember her signing that, but that had to have legislative approval, Ernie, and she never got that from the legislature.
Okay, so Arizona does not have enhanced driver's licenses.
No, as far as I know, they do not have it. Now, her enhanced travel initiative thing or whatever she wanted, you know, across the border stuff, all that had the chips in it and all of that kind of stuff.
Right, right. Well, and it has now when you take your photograph, they have it digitized on your driver's licenses now, that magnetic strip. You have that little barcode thing that's in there. It's all, they got little marks and biometric, de la, whatever, anyway. And they sure as heck are going to have it with Homeland Security. Should we send all this data, including your photograph? I mean, because all they do is it's little points. It's like where your pupils are, to the tip of your nose, the bottom of your earlobes, the tip of your chin. It's just it's like a fingerprint of your face. Well, that
absolutely
goes.
Absolutely, it is, Ernie. It's gotten so technologically, advanced that they're using all of this stuff. And I don't think many people realize that to go in to have their picture put on their driver's license as well as some of the other stuff is just not good at all.
Well, I mean, that's what it does. I imagine it, it is a biometric. I mean, to think that, well, we got to be careful about, the biometric blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, they've already done it.
I don't know whether that kind of technology can be read by the little sensors, that sense the chip that is in some of these cards, where they can read them and take all the information off of it, from that sensor. They can be standing 15, 20 feet away from you and run that wand thing by, and they can get all the information they need off of it.
Well, I understanding, you know, the risks that we have on this kind of creating this national database, I have to, you know, ask you this question. I mean, a lot of people that are very upset about illegal immigration, they have been beaten into submission into accepting this, even advocating for it. Because I remember when Russell Pierce had come on the show in 03 arguing for Prop 200, which was a anti-immigration measure. At that time, the Republicans are screaming up and down they would never have national ID. Well, that's changing.
Ernie, it's both parties. I mean, there's hardly any difference. I don't know why people can't realize that. The dialogue or the conversations that you get from them might sound a little different, but they're out there promoting all the same programs to put us into complete slavery. That's all there is to it.
Well, to what end? I mean, what are you thinking is going to happen? I know you retired as a senator, moved up in the middle of what fur up in northeastern Arizona, your friends and family and so on, and saying, yeah, we're going to wait this out. But wait what out? I mean, what's coming?
Well, Ernie, you know, I'm not a prophet. I don't know what to tell you about what's coming down the pike. But I do know that it's not going to be very pretty. I mean, you've already gotten these Tea Party, which really started out being the grassroots people really caring and wanting something done. And those, as far as I'm concerned, have pretty much been taken over by the neocons of the Republican Party, and I'm really ticked about that. But the people are just, so many of them don't take the time to really look at what's being told them. They watch Fox News, faux news, whatever you want to call it, you know, and all of your news channels give you the same kind of propaganda. I mean, we have been so dumbed down politically that we are just willing to put our trust in the arm of flesh. And by golly, you can't do that, Ernie.
You represent a lot of people that normally in years past I would have put into the category of, you know, yeah, you know, let's get together, Tea Party. Yeah, Fox News. Yeah, man, let's go beat up the Democrats. Yeah, you know, we got to, yeah, against immigrants, you know, for the war, kind of, I mean, you know, but it seems to me as time, if you've gotten more educated on this, and a lot of people respect your opinion, that there's been a revolution inside the Republican Party that is kind of, oh, I know one thing that may tell people where you're coming from. You were one of the co-chairs for Ron Paul's campaign here in Arizona. So that kind of give people kind of where you're coming from. So you have people that are really engaged and understanding what's going on, and then all of a sudden they're starting to see that the Republican Party itself doesn't necessarily represent their interest. And I'm wondering who does, what does? I mean, they're looking for what? Are they even still engaged in the electoral process? Are they starting to pull out? Are they, you know, pox on all houses? Or I'm learning to raise chickens. I mean, the people that you associate with, what are they doing?
Oh, gosh, Ernie, I've got a chicken right down here by my side that I call her Princess. She comes up to me every day and has to be patted. I have to tell you that a lot of people are waking up, and that is good. But we can't put our trust in these parties anymore. You know, when our founding fathers started this country, they never wanted us to be divided up into parties like this. And I mean, it's ruining everything. Our Congress is only answer to themselves. They don't answer to any of their constituents anymore. And we absolutely have got to get away from this party system, and we've got to look at the people that stand for the Constitution, that stand for principles of freedom and liberty that are in the Constitution. I don't really like being called a conservative. I want to be called a constitutionalist. And, you know, as far as being a Republican or a Democrat, let's follow the Constitution. If we get back to that, it really will solve our problems. But, boy, there's a lot of education that has to be done to be able to do that.
You know, this is a good question. You've come up in conversation that I've had with other libertarians around the country. And I want to, when we come back after the bottom of the hour break, I want to detail this out for you. But the main thing is there's over almost 1,000 households that have gone to libertarian conventions over the last decade that I'll be mailing for my run at, you know, Memorial Day in St. Louis at the end of this month. They'll be deciding LNC chair, the Libertarian National Committee chair.
Woohoo, Ernie!
And, well, things are going well, but, you know, the thing that has come up has been one of my opposition said, well, you don't want Ernie in this position because he'll talk about 9/11.
And, oh, my gosh! 9/11 and, is at the foundation of a lot of our problems that we're looking at today.
And
that, you know, habeas corpus and all of this stuff that's happened since then, that was all in the works just waiting for a false flag. Oh, gosh, Ernie, don't get me started on that.
Okay, well, that's where we're going when we come back. Okay, when we come back here on Declare Your Independence, and me, Ernest Hancock, and Senator Karen Johnson, a woman that stood up in the Arizona Senate and said, 9-11, 9-11, 9-11, 9-11, and was inspired.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more fight, a little less fun. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart. And maybe satisfy me.
Yeah, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and former Senator Karen Johnson, Republican, Arizona, that just retired to go raise chickens. And, you know, one thing I want to make sure that people know, Karen, is that, you know, you've been very vocal from the Senate floor on the 9/11 issue, just guilting them into doing some research. And I want to tell this story of, you know, our interface on that. I remember a few years ago, we just had Jason Burmess on last week. He did Loose Change, the movie. Then he did one called Fabled Enemies that was about, you know, all the people that were blamed for doing it and tracking them down. And then he did just recently released a movie in the last week or two, Invisible Empire, that's all about the New World Order and, you know, who they are and is it real and that kind of thing. And I found it from a young man, 20-something-year-old perspective, coming out of college, witnessing the 9/11 thing, being personally affected by it, doing the research, asking questions, finding out answers, going, oh, heck no. And what happened was it was such a powerful movie, Loose Change, that we had him on the radio. And what we did is asked if we could get more, and they would send them to us in stacks of 100. Well, I would give those to you, and I said, here, Karen, you get some. You all can have more. Yeah, here's another stack. And you kept asking me for more. It finally got up to about 400 that we kept asking them to send us, and I just finally gave you their number and said, look, you order them, man. They're going to think I'm burning them or something. So what happened was you distributed those, and tell me what kind of impact that had on you and the people that you handed them out to.
Well, when they were close personal friends that got them, They made the effort to look at it, and many of them were just really shocked, Ernie, because they had bought, of course, the line that came out of the Bush Jr. administration and the commission, and so it was pretty shocking to them. But the material that was presented was done so well that it was pretty hard to refute, and so they began to check into it more and more. So my kind of close circle of friends really, really didn't have a problem with it once they got going on it. Now, when they were strangers, like sometimes we would go to, you know, the Maricopa County Republican Convention, we'd put them on all the chairs, and I think you did some of that too. Those people, you know, I saw some that just threw them away. They wouldn't even make the effort to look at it, and that's where I really have a problem, Ernie. I mean, truth comes from a lot of different places, and when we shut our minds off to truth, we are really in trouble. And it just pains me when people won't make an effort to look at something. I mean, in my office when I served in the legislature, I can't remember a time I wasn't willing to meet with anybody that wanted to come in and discuss an issue. I certainly didn't always agree, but they had a right to come and express themselves, and I needed to listen. And you know what? I learned a lot of stuff, Ernie, by doing that. Sometimes my mind got changed because I didn't have all the information that I really needed to make a wise decision. And this is the way with people today. They need to look at this. You know, I've got a member of my family that absolutely thinks I am a total nutcase. She will not even talk to me about this because she thinks this is so far out. They think George Bush, you know, walks on water. Well, I mean, she's entitled to feel that way, but I feel sad that she won't open her mind up to the possibility of something else being present here.
Well, the one thing that kind of struck me was you were convinced enough that you were willing to make a presentation on the Senate floor. And it was, and it inspired Jesse Ventura enough to come here to want to meet with you. And he gave a presentation. And I remember we videotaped an interview, him in the Senate caucus room, to where he was saying as governor, he learned that they have CIA agents placed in each of the capitals. And after he got elected, they had 30 of them bring him down the basement, wanted to ask him some questions. How the heck did you win governor?
Yeah.
And so he's
Jesse Ventura is an extremely interesting gentleman. We enjoyed we had lunch with him, and we spent quite a bit of time that day that he was here because he did a thing at one of the bookstores promoting his book, and then over at Mesa Centennial Hall. I think we had close to 500 people that came out to hear him, and I'm so grateful because he gave a great talk about 9/11 and about opening up your minds.
This is what I wanted to talk to you about today. My opposition, I'm running for, you know, national chair, Libertarian Party, and so on. And one of the big criticisms that is leveled at me that's not necessarily to my disadvantage, and I don't think they understand that. They'll say, well, if Ernie was elected Libertarian national chair, he would talk about things like 9/11. And I go, what are you saying, that if you're elected national chair, you won't?
You got my vote.
Yeah, I was like, wow. You know, this is like you were saying as we went into the break. This is what predicated the Patriot Act and rendition and war and
Ernie. The war. I mean, this is what is, you know, if read the Bible, you know, the Bible speaks truth. In the book of Revelations, it talks about what's coming down the pike. You ask me what's coming. Read the book of Revelations. And it's because we are going out. We're in, what, 132, 138 countries around the world trying to tell them what to do our way. You do it our way. You become a democracy. Oh, my gosh. One of the worst forms of government you can find is a democracy. Anyway, it's just hideous what we've done. We've gone into Iraq for no good reason. Go watch The Green Zone. One of the best movies that's come out lately. And, you know, it tells you all about the weapons of mass destruction. They were never there. And, you know, to go to war and when, oh my gosh, it's just, it's mind-boggling to me. Now we're in Afghanistan, you know, so that we can make sure the poppies are growing right. I don't know.
Yeah, CIA's got to get their heroin. You know, this, it kind of motivated me to change what I anticipated sending in an envelope to all of the delegates. I kind of go, yeah, I could introduce them. I'm going to introduce them to Freedom's Phoenix and you know, the stuff that we do here in the show. And yeah, I'm Ernie and we, you know, blah, blah, and we have fun. But, you know, I'm telling you guys are not informed. You don't really know what's going on. You have no idea what we're up against. And if you're not willing to discuss it, you know, heck, why would I want to be chair? So I'm going, let's go ahead, and I'm going to go ahead, I think, and I'm going to include Invisible Empire in a mailing to all the Libertarian delegates. That's going to be extremely controversial.
And wow, I've got to get that, Ernie.
It is. You'd like it. I mean, it's right up your alley. And it kind of touches on the other stuff. But his main thing is he's saying, look, this desire and effort to rule the planet has been around since forever, and here's the guys doing it and how they've been doing it and admitted to it, you know? So he just takes footage and puts it up of them saying it. It's just the way you know, you just accumulate the information and put it together. He's going, look, I didn't make it up. They're the ones saying it.
John D. Rockefeller admitted to it. I mean, heaven's sakes, Henry Kissinger, Brzezinski, all of them. These guys are the epitome of evil.
I don't know what else to call it when they want to use the force of government and my own tax money to enslave me. That's bad.
Well, yeah, and they want to depopulate the world, 80, 85%? So they're lots easier to control.
You know, this is one that, before we go into this break, I want to play this one ad. We just had it on Freedom's Phoenix today, and I put it on today's archive for this show. You can go to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Afternoon Show today with Karen Johnson, and you'll see this in there if you don't find it on the front page. And it's a Pennsylvania tax amnesty ad. And the title is "We Know Who You Are," okay? And this at the end, it says, Pennsylvania tax whatever dot something, you know, give us your money or we're coming after you. I want you to listen to this ad because this is the same kind of thing that we had here in Arizona. I put the picture up of what we were showing in Arizona, that the Maricopa County Treasurer's Office has billboards all over the valley. It says, "If you own property, you owe taxes." And I'm going, yes, that's heck, I would put a Freedom's Phoenix logo on that. It's a, customer service announcement. Right. I just want to make sure you know how they think of you. So this is what's going on in Penn. This will be, I'm sure they're doing this all over the country. Listen to this.
"Your name is Tom. You live just off of Fifth Street. Nice car, Tom. Nice house. What's not so nice is you owe Pennsylvania $4,212 in back taxes. Listen, Tom, we can make this easy. Pay online by June 18th, and we'll skip your penalty and take half off your interest. Because, Tom, we do know who you are.
Find us before we find you. PATaxPayUp.com.
Oh, my gosh, Bernie.
This is what's coming.
1984.
Oh, we're behind schedule. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Karen Johnson, former senator here in Arizona. Right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
But to what? I don't know. Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock and Karen Johnson. We're letting it, we're all working to change it to something. How about a little bit more truth, justice, and what used to be the American way? How about that? I ask you this, Karen. When they say truth, okay, I'm hip to truth. Justice, like equally applied laws and stuff, I can live with that. The American way, what the heck was that? What did it used to mean? What did you think it meant?
To me, it was following the Constitution and what the precepts of our founding fathers, what they intended. Ernie, if we had lived by that, we would truly be the light on the hill. We're no light on any hill today.
Yeah, we are. It's a bonfire. The city's burning.
No, it's a bonfire.
Bonfire. Yeah, very good. One thing that well, first we have somebody that wants to say hi to you. Let's go ahead and go to Morpheus. Go ahead, Morpheus.
Oh, hey. Hey, Ernie, thank you very much for taking my call. I just wanted to call and say hi to Karen. Karen, you absolutely rock. The first time I was ever came down to the Senate was to hear you speak and do your presentation on 9/11. And I was appalled that, you're speaking, and a lot of the people who are the senators you presented the information to we're just discarding it, and the disdain that these people had for the information you were so boldly presenting was just, it was unbelievable to me.
Oh, Morpheus, thank you so much for calling up. You brought up a good point because several of the senators, they were given a manila folder, with the talk that I had gave to them, plus some photographs of the Twin Towers coming down, the explosion, not, them falling down. And then I gave them a CD or a DVD called Improbable Collapse, a very, very good one. And I saw many of them trash them, as soon as I was through. They threw them in the garbage can by their desk. And it was kind of funny, and I may have told Ernie this previously, but as soon as we were done, I had several of the pages. These are the young people that are just out of high school in their first year of college, so that come down there and service. They came running over and they said, "Oh, Senator Johnson, can we go get this out of Senator so-and-so's garbage? You know, we want to look at this. We want to see it." And I said, "Go for it, guys." And I thought, boy, these young people, they're hungry. They're hungry for truth.
You know, one thing it's interesting. I put in, I was see if I could find a link to the speech, and I doing a Google search right here, Karen Johnson 9/11 speech on the floor. And the East Valley Tribune printed it in the newspaper. I didn't know that.
I didn't know they did either.
Yeah, I got it right here. I'm like, okay, rock and roll. So it has a much bigger impact than I think a lot of us even know.
Well, Ernie, I worked with, David Ray Griffin and, I can't say his name. He's a Japanese senator over there in their council in Japan. And we set up politicians for 9/11 truth. And we do have several state senators and representatives from around the country that have joined with us, but many, many people from around the world, over in Sweden, in Germany, in some of the other countries have gotten onto this. But if you go into, I think it's Politicians 9/11 Truth, you'll see their website, and they've done some really good things. We've tried to spend some time with people like Dennis Kucinich and a few of the others that seem to have an open mind for some of these things.
I'm sorry, what were you going to say, Morpheus?
Oh, one last thing. We had one of the previous tea parties. I went up to, they had a panel delegate or senators and legislatures there. And I asked about the 9/11, and it was kind of funny because John Hoopenthal, he poo-pooed all over me in front of the crowd. And unfortunately, they took the microphone. I let them have the microphone, so I wasn't able to ask them how the buildings came down symmetrically. You know, why didn't they just topple over? And
right.
Now it's so funny because now I run into John Hoopenthal all the time, and he runs away from me, literally.
Hoopenthal! We know all about Hoopenthal.
Well, they're running. You know, they're running for things, and so they can't be tainted with this kind of truth.
Right.
Well, you know, I'm the one thing I really am interested in is the lasting impact this had with the populace, because I'm looking for an opportunity. You know, here at St. Louis, at the end of the month, there's going to be, you know, our documents for the Libertarian Party are very clear. You know, we challenge this cult of the omnipotent state. I mean, it's very the first paragraph. We, the members of the Libertarian Party, challenge the cult of the omnipotent state and defend the rights of the individual. And then it goes on to detail that. But this cult, this adoration, this worship of an all-powerful, all-knowing state, that was the reasoning for its creation in the early 70s after Nixon was doing wage and price controls and OSHA and EPA and all this government. Here comes more as like, you know, W. Bush coming in doing all his stuff. So they said, nah, we're not going to play. We're going to go out and we're going to challenge the state. Well, it's gotten to where you get a little bit of influence and they're going, well, we don't want to challenge anymore. We have enough of a hand and enough bargaining power that we can negotiate for a table at the king's table. I'm like the Christ and the money changers, man. I want to knock them over. You know, I'm going, well, I don't want to sit with you guys. I have anything to do with that. Let's get back to the basis of the party, which was to challenge all this stuff. So to do that, I think I'm going to have to provide some information to people so that they go into convention. It is very, very, very clear to everyone in and outside of the Libertarian Party that there was a decision made. Either they chose to challenge what's going on now, or they're negotiating for a place at the table. If that, I want that decision, I want it very clear so we can go to the next step.
Oh, Ernie, that's excellent. Just excellent.
You know, I mean, what else are we going to do? You know, that's what you've been doing. You know, this is what has been what's made you so popular. Tell me about how did Jesse Ventura, after you gave that presentation, how'd you guys hook up and him wind up coming here? How did that happen?
Well, I I can't remember whether we called him. I think that some of the 9/11 people said, hey, you know, Jesse's with us on 9/11. Let's get in touch with him and see if he'd come here. And they felt like, well, since you've got the name senator behind you, which really is meaningless, but it does help sometimes. If you'll call his publicist and see if he'll make contact with you, and they did just right away. And so we've really had a good time. And in fact, Ernie, we're hoping that Jesse, you know, he's written this new book about conspiracy fact, and we're hoping that he'll come back to this area again sometime this year, and we can, you know, get another venue for him and have him speak again.
Really? Well, I tell you what we're doing. We have, for over Labor Day weekend, we're having a big peace, anti-war rally here in Arizona. So we've already doing the contract with one of the resorts here, and I've signed a contract for the Freedom Summit. They'll be in the first weekend in December. And then, of course, we're, you know, worked out a deal with them that Labor Day, they gave us a smoking deal because it's hot. Hot here, man. It's hot. So we're going to have, because they're going, well, you know, the peace movement's dead. It's done. It's gone. I'm going, yeah, this week.
Okay. Ernie, who are you looking at getting?
I'm leaving it up to, you know, just the universe. I mean, they'll start filling in. You know, I'm working with Angela Keaton over at AntiWar.com. She has a lot of people that she wants to have. I have some people I want. Who are you thinking about?
Well, I like Justin Romano. I like Charles Goyette.
No, I think Goyette is already going to go, and I'm pretty sure Justin Romano, because the people I'm working with is AntiWar.com. So, you know, Justin and Scott Horton and these guys. We got the big boys covered. I'm kind of hoping that we can get, you know, an experienced vet. And you're like, well, Adam Coke. Well, I know another one. Cindy Sheehan wants to speak.
Oh,
so,
now, boy, I tell you, if that woman didn't get trashed. Do you remember she came to the Capitol here in Phoenix and we found, you know, we knew she was coming. I was the only legislator that went down there to say hello to her. I couldn't believe it. I thought, where's all these Democrats that are supposed to be so anti-war, you know, that would come down and at least welcome her to the Capitol?
Because she was so kind, I tell you what happened. I saw it happen when I was in the ditch in Crawford, Texas, covering it for Air America when I was working with Charles there. And what happened was MoveOn had brought all the anti-war groups together and promised them all kinds of, we're on your board of directors, we got a little bit of money for you, we got this and that and so on, to where they would kind of allow them to do their media and scheduling. And then all of a sudden, they said to Cindy, you either say phased withdrawal instead of immediate withdrawal, or we are going to abandon you. And she said, nope, not going to do it. So what did they do? They totally abandoned her, made her, she was dead. And Democrats wouldn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
So, Karen, it's always glad, I'm always glad to talk to you, and I'm glad you're there. And I know you'll be a big influence on this election cycle from people just knowing that they can take your lead to just learn the truth. And that's all we're really asking. The other stuff takes care of itself as long as they open their mind to what the truth is.
Right, Ernie. Thank you, Ernie.
Thanks for coming on, Karen. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, in just a little bit.